Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's with us again today, and she's got some marvelous things she's telling us that a lot of people don't even know. Isn't that right, Billy?
Yeah, the prophet Ezekiel told them 2,500 years ago. And we're going to come now to Ezekiel 38 and 39, and we're going to look at a war, a prophesied war.
Okay.
There are, I think, three, Gloria, notable wars in the future here. And one of them is this Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. It is the first Gog-Magog war. There are two Gog-Magog wars. There are three kind of notable wars in the future. There's wars. I read an article by Carolyn Glick. She's a commentator out of Jerusalem Post, and she talks about the wars between the wars. Israel has some wars, right out fighting wars, and then they're always doing something between the times. So there are three notable big wars that the Bible prophesies that we haven't had yet. Almost all Bible prophecies, prophecy teachers agree that we haven't had this Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. It's a Gog-Magog war. And then at the end of the tribulation period, when the Antichrist surrounds Jerusalem, that's the Battle of Armageddon. This is not the Battle of Armageddon. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, you know, Satan goes into the pit for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, he'll be loosed a little season, and the last Gog-Magog war comes to pass. But this one, it could happen any day, Gloria, to tell you the truth, because the players are lined up. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog. Gog is an evil spirit in the heavenlies. One of those princes up here, I think Satan himself. God is not against the people of the land. He's against the evil spirit that rules down through. Set thy face against Gog, the land of Gog, Magog, that means the land where he operates, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. At the time of this war, he's going to be operating, the chief one's going to be operating down through, and almost all Bible prophecy teachers agree that it's talking about Moscow and Tobolsk and Russia. So that's going to be the, there's going to be an invasion. And this invasion is going to be headed up out of Russia. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. So chief prince over that in the air. See, this is how we know it's an evil spirit working down through the government. Like we saw in Tyre, there was this king of Tyre and prince of Tyre.
So the Lord has taken his place.
He's taken his place.
And he's made up his mind.
He is against that. And he's going to pull this invasion into Israel so that he can judge them there. He's going to do it. Look what it says. Verse 4, I will turn you back. Yeah. I will put hooks into your jaws. I will bring you forth and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor. I just saw in the internet news that Russia has unveiled a new tank. And this thing is just amazing in all that it can do. Tank warfare, some people thought was over, but this Bible, probably Ezekiel, saw tanks. And he thought they were armed horsemen, armored vehicles, but a very, very a strong new tank. And so he said, you're going to come with a great company, a big army, all of them with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. I'm going to be the one that draws you down in there. Now you're going to have a main ally. And that main ally is going to be Persia. In the Bible, Persia is Iran. So Russia and Iran are going to be allies. Also with them, Ethiopia and Libya. And Gomer and all of his bands, Eastern Europe. Togarma, which is Turkey. Turkey had been pro-Western for a long time, but then recently now we've seen it turn against Israel. Russia and Iran. I looked into the history of their association, and it's back even long ago. They would have trade associations, and they would have squabbles here and there. But the major, major thing of Russia and Iran becoming allies, after the Ayatollah Khomeini overthrew the Shah of Iran, and the Shah of Iran, it was a pro-Western government, then he established the Iran we know today, or have known in the past years, that Sharia law and very against Israel. The first country to recognize the Ayatollah Khomeini was Russia. But the Ayatollah Khomeini said, no, we're not communists, we're not atheists. So they kind of faded into the back a bit until there came a war between Iran and Iraq. And at the end of that war, Russia then side in with Iraq. But then they began to be also allies with Iran. And in August 25th, 1992, Russia and Iran had a major agreement regarding the nuclear power plant at Bushehr. And so now Russia is all tied into the design, the operation of everything nuclear in Iran that Israel's against, Netanyahu's against, United States should be against. And so it's Russia and Iran. They are allies now. And the Lord says to them, verse 8, after many years, you shall be visited in the end of days. You shall come into the land. Our King James says the latter years. It's the end of days, the end of the six-day period. We have, I'm going to ask them to put up to show you a chart that has 6 days God gave to Moses. God gave Moses what he had told, that he had given Adam a six-day work week, and 1,000 years is a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. 6 days equaling the work week of Adam. Then at the end of that, you're going to have the seventh day, the millennial day. These 6 days are divided into three parts. The first 2,000 years are the years of chaos, then the Word came. Then the next 2,000 years are the years of the Messiah. We've seen the church age. And then we see the next 2,000 years are the years of the law. And then the last of the 6 days, 2,000 years, are the latter days. And we're the end of the end of days. It's called the end of days. We're just about to go over into the millennium. So the timing of this thing, it hasn't happened yet. Many days you shall be visited. It was being a long time from the time of Ezekiel. In the end of days, you shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. So he prophesies that at the time of the end of days, and this can never happen yet, but Israel will be brought home. And you're going to come down into the land, and you're coming into the mountains of Israel. That's that center column. Verse 9, you shall ascend and come like a storm. You shall be like a cloud to cover the land, you and all thy bands and many people with you. Now imagine Ezekiel, he sees them coming like a cloud. He's not familiar with aircraft. He's not familiar with airplanes and an air war. But they're going to come down from the north, and they're going to come into the land of Israel. The long land of Israel is crossed by the Jezreel Valley. Even those mountains are crossed by the Jezreel Valley that goes across. It's 20 miles long, 4 miles wide. I'm not sure about that. It may be longer. Scratch that. Look it up yourself on the Wikipedia. But the Jezreel Valley does go across Israel, and that's Israel's northernmost airfield. So probably somewhere there in the mountains of Israel, they will come and they will land.
Like a cloud.
Yeah, like a cloud.
You've seen pictures of the bombers and planes from the war, World War II, and they just seem like they cover the sky.
Yes, that's a whole squadron of them coming. Yeah. Well, that's what there's going to be. And boy, believe you me, Russia has got the ability to look like a cloud invading. So you're going to come down to the land of unwalled villages. Now, this does not mean that they're totally, there's peace. I know, brother, some people taught there's going to be a time of peace. There won't be any time of peace until the false peace that the Antichrist brings. This simply means a time when they don't build walls around towns. They always used to build a wall. It was important for Nehemiah to build that wall. Montefiore, who was saw that when the Jews were started to come back in the 20th century, it was very unhealthy conditions living inside that wall town. So he built a town outside the wall. The people would hardly go there. But now we know that all over Israel there are unwalled towns.
Yeah.
You're coming, verse 12, to take a spoil and to take a prey. What will that spoil be? People have said oil. People have said all kinds of things. I don't know what it is. But if the Bible says you came to take a spoil, you came to take a spoil and to take a prey. Now, verse 13, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto you, are you come to take a spoil? Have you gathered your company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a spoil? Sheba and Dedan are in what's presently Saudi Arabia. Some people say that the sons of merchants of Tarshish are those that sail from Tarshish, and that the young lions thereof are England, Spain, France, and even whoever came from them, America. I don't know if that's true or not, but whoever this group is, they're going to have like a press conference. And in this press conference, they're going to say, what are you doing down here? You came to take a spoil? And so then let's go down to verse 16. You shall come against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the end of days, and I will bring you against my land. Now, read these two chapters, Ezekiel 38 and 39, and see why God's doing this. He's doing it to show himself strong. The God of Elijah is about to rise up strong. And he says, I'm doing this. I'm going to bring you against my land that the nations shall know me. I'm telling you, those Islamic nations, they recognize Arabic, I'll say. They recognize strength and power. When you're weak, they'll walk all over you. But your God, if he's the stronger God, I think they'll change. I think this is the time when the Muslim world bows its knees, much of it, because they're going to see that the God of Israel prevails. I will bring you down to my land, and the nations will know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God. Some people are going to say, maybe I'm one of them. Maybe I'm one of the reporters. And I'm over there working with Chris Mitchell from CBN, Pat Robertson. And we're going to go up and then we're going to say, are you that one spoken of by the old time by the prophet Ezekiel who prophesied you're going to come against them? And so they shall be there, and there'll be press conferences, and there'll be all this new stuff we know for today. And then God's going to start moving, and he's going to judge that army. And there's going to be a great shaking in the land of Israel, an earthquake. It's going to be a powerful one. And they're going to be shaken down by that. He's going to cause them to fire against each other. Verse 21, I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brothers. I will plead against him with pestilence, with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. Mm-hmm. He's going to sanctify his great name. God is going to be the one who brings about. It's not going to be the great armies of the U.S. or Israel or anybody else. It's going to be a supernatural defeat. And then in the next chapter, verse 21, I will set my glory among the nations, and the nations shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon him. And also the house of Israel shall know that I am Jehovah their God from that day forward, and the nations shall know. And you can read on going to the end of that chapter. He is going to be sanctified at the end of verse 27 in the sight of many nations. Then shall they know that I am Jehovah their God, which caused Israel to be led into captivity, but I've gathered them to their own land. I've left none of them anymore there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God.
Praise God.
So this judgment comes from God. We're going to find in chapter 39 that there's a seven-year period. They cleanse the land. This is what makes me think that it's going to be soon. And they're going to have a seven-year period. They're going to, tourists, it says, will be traveling through the land of Israel. And if they find a bone, they're going to put up a stake and say, a bone is here from all the ones that are dead. And he's called all the, he's called to all the birds. And he says in verse 17 of chapter 39, Son of man, speak unto every feathered fowl and to the beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and gather for my sacrifice. I'm going to do a great sacrifice for you on the mountains of Israel. You shall eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the lambs. Now, he's called the birds. He's already called them, Gloria. That ancient map that we showed you, and it's got a three-leaved map, and to the left is Europe, to the right is Asia, and down below is Africa. The birds from, the big birds from Asia and Europe and Asia, they ride the thermals over Israel when they do their migratory path down to Africa, and then they ride them back. So the rabbis believe that this great feast will happen in the autumn during that migratory path flight. Bless the Lord. Could be any day now, but they've already been assembled. Now, from chapter 40 on, he's going to measure Jerusalem, and he is prophesying the return of Jerusalem to its former glory. He prophesies that a great temple will be built. We've already touched some of this. He prophesies that the glory of the Lord is going to come back into that millennial temple. And in chapter 47, what a wonderful chapter this is. Afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house. That's the door of the millennial temple. And waters will come out from under the threshold of the house, and they will flow eastward. And as Ezekiel is watching this man who measures these waters, they get deeper, 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 and they go down to the east country, and they go down to the Dead Sea. They flow out from under the temple, and they go down. Let's start with verse 7. When I returned, behold, at the bank of the river, there were trees on one side and on the other. He said to me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert, the Judean desert, and go into the sea, the Dead Sea. And being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be great multitude of fish. Now, no fish can live in the Dead Sea, but these waters are going to heal those waters. And great fish are going to live in those waters. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto Egalim, and they shall catch great fish there. Verse 12, I pass that place all the time. And when I see it, I think there's a hot spot. That's going to be a hot fishing spot. Verse 12, and by the river upon the bank thereof on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat, which leaf shall not fade, neither shall the leaf be consumed. And these are for the healing of the nations. Devil's in the pit, but there's going to be these trees that grow up on either side of the river, and their leaves are going to be healing. You could probably, no disease, but you could probably fall out of a tree or, you know, have a chariot crash. Just get you some of these ground up leaves and you'd be healed. Now, the interesting thing is earth is a mirror vision of heaven. And Revelation tells us that in heaven, there's also this river and these trees on either side of it. Bless the Lord. Now we come to the land of Israel during the millennium. God's not through with Israel, and Israel doesn't belong to the Christians. It belongs to Israel. So here in chapter 13, chapter 47, verse 13, thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border whereby you shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions, and you shall inherit it, one as well as the other, concerning the which I lifted up my hand. Here's another. God swore they get the land to give it to your fathers, and this land shall fall to you for an inheritance. Verse 21. You shall divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. So they're going to get out their measuring sticks, and they're going to measure all the border. He tells them exactly what each tribe is going to get. So we go all down through Ezekiel 48, and he's still naming the tribes and getting the parts of the land. And then we come to verse 29. This is the land which you shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance, and these are their portions, saith the Lord God. So the land of Israel belongs to Israel. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be greater Israel. And he divides it all up. Damascus is in there, and other places are in there. Who gets what? And it'll be divided between the land of Israel. Now, from the earth, it's going to be governed by the Jews, governing out of Israel, the flesh Jews, the Jews who were still on the earth at the end of the tribulation time. And the whole nation is going to be cleansed. There's going to be one day when they look up to Him and they are all cleansed on one day. And then from then on, Zechariah 12, Zechariah 14, all the nations of the earth that are left, the sheep nations, they'll have to go up to Jerusalem where they will be taught the word of the Lord. Now, verse 29 of Ezekiel 48 says, "This is the land which you shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance. These are the portions, saith the Lord God." Now we come to the city, Jerusalem. Verse 30. These are the goings out of the city. And the measuring, the man measures the city of Jerusalem, the capital of the whole earth, and it gives how big it shall be. And it ends with this statement in verse 35, "And the name of the city from that day shall be," King James says, "The Lord is there." Lord is capitalized, so we know it's Jehovah. And there in Hebrew is Shammah. Mm-hmm. So the name of the city is Jehovah Shammah, one of the names of God. Mm-hmm. The Lord is there. What a glorious ending.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was good job, Billy. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.